Suppose you're a struggling actor. Or maybe you've already had some guest spots on a sitcom. How do you land the plum role you've always dreamed of? Chances are you'll need to audition for the part. A terrifying prospect for most actors. And that's why former casting director Joanna Merlin wrote her book. It's called Auditioning, An Actor-Friendly Guide.
Auditioning is really acting under special circumstances. It's unlike acting when you are performing on the stage or in front of a camera for a lot of reasons. First of all, it's always unpredictable. You never know if you're going to get a whole script or just a scene. You never know what the competition is going to look like in the waiting room, and they usually all look like you. You don't know how nervous you're going to be. You don't know who the reader is going to be, and that's the hardest part because...
What do you mean by the reader?
The reader is the person who reads the other role, and that person is frequently not an actor. And sometimes they will speed through, sometimes they'll hardly look at you, sometimes they'll be somewhat illiterate. And you have to imagine that that person is Laurence Olivier and giving you everything you need, which makes it difficult because acting is interactive. That's the nature of it.
But what actually happens in an audition? Can you describe a typical, if there is one, audition for me?
Well, there isn't a typical, but... what happens is that your agent, if you have an agent, calls you and says, I've set up an appointment for you. I'm sending the script over or the scene. And it depends on, you know, whether you have a day, 2 days, or a morning sometimes. Television works very quickly. So sometimes you have very little advance notice. Or sometimes it's even a cold reading where you don't get the material till you get to the audition.
I suppose for television that must be particularly true because they want to know how you can deal with new lines.
Yes. It's also true because they frequently don't write the material until they start shooting the show. So they only have little bits and pieces. Sometimes actors kind of project the feeling that the auditors are hostile because they really try to be neutral. They try not to be overly friendly so you don't think that you've got the job the minute you walk in the room. And most auditors understand that this is a kind of awkward situation on both sides.
Now, you've actually been on both sides of this, and you're using the word auditor for the person who's giving the audition, the person who is going to make the decision about whether you get the job or not.
Well, in some cases, if it's a preliminary audition, it's just a casting director who will then decide whether you should be called back for the director. But you can have, on the other side of the table, you can have directors, producers, playwrights, composers, lyricists. I mean, sometimes you can have 10 people on the other side. With network auditions, it's sometimes 20 people from the networks.
And who do you expect to find in the waiting room? Do you expect to be there alone? Do you expect to have...
horrors.
horrors is what you expect to find.
The point is, you can't expect because you never know. But there are times when there will be, you know, 50 people sort of standing around. More often than not, it will be maybe 5 or 6.
But you're not going to find Harrison Ford there, are you?
No, I don't think so. However, I just read that Nicole Kidman had to audition. She had to do a singing audition for Moulin Rouge.
But for the rest of the acting world, you can expect to find 5 or 6, up to 50 people, all of whom are more or less like you?
Well, it depends. I mean, sometimes they will be auditioning for several different roles. In New York, for a chorus audition, you might have 500 people who are lined up, and they will try to see all of them in the same day. For film, generally, there are fewer people.
You know, this sounds absolutely terrifying.
Well, it is. That's why I wrote the book. A lot of actors don't know how to prepare. They will read the scene 100 times, hoping to, you know, make it better each time, but they don't understand the clues that are in the material that will bring the material to life and allow them to deliver a really animated audition where they can inhabit the character rather than just reading it. Because you always have a script in your hand, even if you've memorized it. And the trick is in bringing it to life and giving the auditors an idea that you can potentially play this role. what I tried to do was come up with 10 questions, which I call actable choices, that bring life to the material. They make the material breathe rather than it being intellectual.
So after you've looked at the script, these are the things you want to try to look for in yourself and in the script to, as you say, bring it to life.
It's a checklist in a way, you know. Is my relationship with this other character, is that really important in this scene? Where is the heat in that relationship? How will that serve me? How can I evoke this character by finding something that's different between me and this character? What is the world of the play? Is it a sitcom? Is it a period piece? What is the physical life of the character? That sort of thing. They lead you to specificity rather than a general mood, which really doesn't breathe life into the material.
You've talked to a lot of people, actors whose names we would know, I think, about what it is that they think works, what tricks they've used. Are there some that you have found particularly compelling?
Shall I read you something that Allison Janney said?
Please.
Here she says, "If I'm auditioning for the part of a character named Rita, I always say to myself, Rita couldn't be here today, so I'll do her part. It makes me feel like I'm doing them a favor, and they know it. Kind of stupid, but it works," which I thought was a really original take.
Yeah.
Here's something Cameron Manheim said. "If you're like most people and you aren't filled to the brim with confidence, you must act like you are. In fact, that is the biggest acting challenge of all in an audition. And once you start pretending to be confident, you will reap the rewards of its power, and real confidence will soon take its place. It all just builds on itself."
At another point in the book, I think you mentioned Cameron Manheim as saying that, what was it, if you're auditioning for Romeo, you should have...
Yes, you should have a friend read the scene with you as though they were Lucille Ball.
So it's just Romeo, so and Lucille.
Right.
You feel prepared for
exactly.
Anything at that point.
Exactly. Self-confidence is really the actor's lifeline in this business. And of course, it's tricky because an auditioning situation does not build self-confidence. But Cameron says a little later on that it is a gift you have to bestow on yourself, that no one will give it to you.
Joanna Merlin is the author of Auditioning, an actor-friendly guide.